Welcome back to another episode of HBO Girls Rewatch. I'm Amelia.
And I'm Evan.
And today we are covering episode four, season one. If you're not rewatching with us, you don't have to be. We kind of fill you in, so it's no worries either way. If you are rewatching with us, slay. All right, I'm going to read a synopsis.
We're going to do a little synopsis right at the top. Hannah's diary. What's it all about, Amelia?
Okay, so basically Adam sexts Hannah and then follows up the sex with, wait, I meant that for somebody else. And Hannah like freaks out and it's like all about her journey with that. And then Shoshana runs into a boy from summer camp and is like, wait, this is the guy I should lose my virginity to. And then the guy actually won't have sex with her. And then Jessa is babysitting Catherine's Han's kids again. And she like loses them at the park and learns that she actually has to be kind of responsible. And then Ray and Charlie are kind of hanging out together and like snoop through the girl's stuff. And that is not good. And that's kind of what happened in this episode.
If you heard a third voice, surprise, bitches. There's a guest this week. And they actually work at a company called Betches.
I say beaches. You can do whatever the hell you want.
I like Evan's version.
But they're also one of the youngest comedians in the world. They're so cool. They're actually from Manhattan. Our first Manhattan.
Okay.
Our first person who resides in Manhattan. Put your hands together for Ruby Karp.
Hey. Thanks for having me.
It's an honor and a privilege.
Literally.
Mostly a privilege.
So excited to be here.
Oh my God. You should be. So Girls originally came out in 2012. What were you up to?
So I was 12 years old. And huge. I was in middle school.
Don't do the math on that.
I did watch all of Girls
in middle school.
Yes, my mom had no boundaries whatsoever. And my mom was like, if I'm watching something, you should watch it with me so I have someone to talk about it with.
Wait, at that's 12. The exact kind of parenting style I aspire. Like, I'm like, if I'm watching a show, they're watching it with me.
This is my tiny friend. Like, this is like more than a daughter. This is a companion.
That's perfect. Well, and it's no so downsides.
Very metropolitan.
Very metropolitan.
So yeah, my mom was like, you're mature enough to see this. So like I was like watching this episode and I was like, oh, I remember this. And I remember being like, huh, what's this photo situation about?
Totally. Yeah. You're like, sexting, should I get into that?
Yeah.
Did you know what was going on? Like when I was watching shows at 12 years old, even like a SpongeBob of sort, I like liked it for the pictures and like it was fun from the sounds, but like I never understood plot.
Yeah, like so the first like adult movie I ever saw was Love Actually. And the scene,
that's a classic.
The scene where the blonde woman, I think it's, is it Laura Linney? I don't know if that's who it is, but
we don't know either.
There's a blonde woman in that movie who does almost have sex. And that to me, I was like, oh, I've just seen porn for the first time. And by the way, they like don't do anything. They just like take off their shirts or something. But that for me for a long time, I was like, okay, so I've seen everything.
Right.
So I felt prepared to watch anything, including Girls.
Perfect. Wow. Yeah, actually perfect.
Yeah, my mom was like, you do comedy, so you should watch this comedy
show.
It's cool
because they actually show a penis during this episode.
Yeah, they do. They do. And I live with just my mother. I've always lived with just my mother. So it was like, huh, first penis.
I don't know if I even registered as a penis the first time I saw it.
No, I don't think I really understood anything that was going on. I think I was more just like, my mom's laughing. Like, these are vibes.
Totally. I think, like, when I first watched it, my brain was still so far behind. I was like, oh, this seems cool. And rewatching it now, I'm like, oh, there's a lot to this.
Yeah, and this is, like, about me.
Yeah.
It's interesting watching it as the age of the girls in the show versus, like, a middle schooler. Because it's like, huh, interesting how perspective changes.
Yeah. Like, I remember being young and being like, Hannah, what is wrong with your brain?
Yeah, and now and I'm like, now oh, I'm I get like, it.
So true, girl. Yeah. So real.
I'm like, I feel the same way.
Literally.
You're finally watching a show and you're like, oh, this is what adults were been talking about, nuance. Like, I had no idea what that was. I thought TV was all about just, like, having fun, having a laugh, not really thinking. But TV actually is for thinkers, too.
Yeah, it's for people who have thoughts.
Yeah,
absolutely. Thinkers, too.
It's for mostly for thinkers.
That is huge.
Big revelation.
Should we jump into our first segment?
Let's jump right on in.
Okay, ready? Girl, what girl are you?
Okay.
And we're for this, we like, it's whatever about this episode. Like, who in this episode, what girl did you think you were?
Right. So here's the thing. It's like, this is such a crazy question because, like, I think I'm a Shoshana. Mm. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know if they ever establish her religion, but she seems the most Jewish to me.
She is Jewish. Yeah. They establish that.
So, yeah. So, like, I also, like, even just beyond the Jewness, like, I'm like, I think I most like that kind of energy, but I also am kind of like a Hannah sometimes, you know what I mean? Like, I'm a little crazy, I'm a little like narcissistic, like, you know what I mean? But so right. Are they all.
You're like, I need to tell my story.
Yes, exactly. I'm like, I honestly, like that pilot where she's like, I'm the voice of a generation. I'm like, oh, I've been thinking that for so long.
Since middle school even.
So mm-hmm. I was like, oh, I didn't know that was a joke at first. Like, I thought she was being earnest. And that's how you know it's that I'm a Hannah joke. Sometimes.
I don't think it is a joke. It's like irony.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. She's like, no, but I am. Because she kind of was. Not Hannah, but Lena.
Lena ultimately was the voice of a generation.
Yeah.
A voice.
Yeah.
For sure.
Definitely a voice. For sure.
Yeah. Well, I also think you're like Shoshana in an aspect where it's like, she's the only one in this show that is 22 years old.
Yes.
During when it's like, that's when taking place, she's playing a 22-year-old NYU student. And also, she's sort of like, she's, you. Not that you have a naivete, but like.
I do. I have like a, not to be like, I have a young energy, but I have a very like.
Yes.
I'm still learning and like.
Exactly.
Energy. Yeah. And like, that's kind of why I've always related to her the most, because she seems like the most like, I'm just like here for a good time, but also like, I kind of don't know what's going on.
No, totally. Exactly. She's so like. Random young core, but also kind of really the wisest.
Yes, exactly.
Well, she's Gen Z before it even happened.
Exactly. She represents the Gen Z to the millennial.
100%.
And it's also like watching it when I was 12, I was like, I like had no idea she was younger than them. But like now rewatching it, I'm like, oh, you can see how they wrote her. So I mean, this whole episode is about her being a virgin.
Yeah.
Mm. Which is like, I love that storyline. I love like when she ends up losing her virginity to like.
Totally.
I don't want to spoil it.
No, go ahead.
But like, I just think she has such a real storyline. Yeah. Like, I feel like I love Marnie, but sometimes Marnie can get a little like comedic, like her storyline.
It's a little absurd.
Yeah, which I love. Like, I love that they lean into that. But Shoshana to me always felt the most like I'm watching an actual like story arc.
Going. Yeah, you're like, this girl is real.
There's yes. real growth. It's yes. tangible.
So maybe that's why I relate to her the most, because she's like the least like absurd. But also, I feel like
that's
I also
insane to say this. I love that.
I'm like the least crazy. Absurd,
but you are right.
But at the same time, I feel like her crazy energy matches my exact energy of just like, hey, what's up, you guys? I'm here today to yeah. like. Very yeah, YouTube.
I would guess you as Shosh. Yeah. yeah.
So yeah, I'm a Shosh girl. Let me. Fly. What are you guys?
What are you feeling like this week?
So this episode, I really do think I was very much. I want to see either a Jessa or a Hannah based off the story arc,
mm-hmm.
where Jessa's being like, "We should unionize. I'd even take a lower pay." And she's talking to all the babysitters just to like be on level. I never thought of myself as a politician. But, like, I can do it. And it's, like, I'm always being, like, she doesn't recognize her insane privilege at all times. Mm-hmm. And that's something I'm constantly doing.
Totally. That's actually so true what you're saying. You're, like, well, duh. I'm, like, other people don't live like this.
Yeah. No, exactly.
Wait, give us a little example.
Yeah.
Oh, that's really cool.
Paint us a picture.
Well, it's, like, growing up, I never made my bed once. And I, like, thought that was such a normal thing. And then I like moved to the city and I realized that maybe not everyone had like a housekeeper growing up.
every day in our apartment, Evan's like, oh, right, I didn't realize other people's childhoods weren't like mine.
It's like interesting. That's,
I had no idea.
That's really cool.
I grew up in a real bubble.
Yeah. And that's cool. Wait, where did you grow up again?
In Scarsdale, New York. Westchester of all Westchester
towns. That makes so much sense. Yeah. Exactly. That's why you are the way you are.
No, 100%.
And it's also why you're perfect.
No one's ever said that before.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
Perfect.
And what about you, Meal Girl?
This week I feel actually bravely like Shosh.
Cool.
I'm first and foremost always a Marnie, will always be a Marnie. There's no changing that.
Yeah.
But this specific episode, it's like, yeah, I'm like being insecure lately in a way that Shosh is like, I don't know what's going on. Oh my God. Yeah. Who am I? What am I doing? What do I, blah, 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 blah.
I didn't know she could do that pitch.
Yeah, I like that pitch for you.
Yeah, thank you. The character you That's kind into. Of like what my head's been doing all week. So watching this up, I was like, Shosh.
Right. Well, like the way that she starts like deteriorating when he's like, oh, I can't have sex with you. She's like, I don't bleed. I'm not a bleeder. I'm not, that's not what's going to happen. And you're like, yeah.
She's like wanting to control the situation. Yeah. And then she's like, wait, you're a real person. This sucks.
Yeah, it's exactly.
So fun. And when she goes, well, so this is a scene. So now she's like almost about to fuck her
camp friend.
Awesome. And she goes,
really cool.
When girls bleed, they always attach themselves to me. She's like, I'm not a bleeder. I'm not going to attach my... Yeah. It's so funny to say they attach when they bleed.
Yeah, she's like, I'm not going to attach my blood to you or something like that. And you're like, that is an awesome line.
It's very Twilight in that it's like, I'm going to imprint or something.
Yeah. Which is kind of like, that guy did her a solid. Like, that was kind of awesome of him.
Totally.
But I so, like... relate to and see why she said that, because she was just like, why, like, wait, so I'm the wrong person here, like I'm the reason why this can't happen. She's like, but that's not normal.
No.
And I love that little,
it's really kind of a like this episode, her arc in this, I'm like, yes, thank you for telling this tale.
Yeah, exactly.
It's never been told before.
No.
Well, not once. American Pie didn't touch on this.
No, a virgin on TV was always someone who went to band camp and like, or virgin was always someone in high school. You never saw a 22-year-old be a virgin. Someone at the end of college. Yeah, it was like
Drew Barrymore, never been kissed.
Right. And that's it.
Yeah.
That those were our only examples. An average person
has only 5 sexual partners. So it's like, people are being virgins at 22. It's even in New York City, and it's like, that's never talked about on TV. And she's kind of the pioneer of that.
In New York City especially. Well, I feel like, I mean, like, New York has such a hookup culture to it.
Yeah.
I mean, there's so many people here. So it's like, it makes sense. But I think it's really cool of them to be like, also like, Shosh is like a cute girl. All her friends are super sexually active. So it's like, I feel like, I'm sure that was very comforting for a lot of people who like were
totally
22-year-old virgins.
Absolutely.
So love
Shosh. It's so interesting, and it plays into her character so well. Like,
it's so good.
She wouldn't be her if she had sex.
Yeah, exactly. Well, it plays into her naivete. Everything is so much bigger. You're like, okay, so we kissed. And it's like,
holy shit.
Yeah, exactly. It's like stuff like that just like feels so much.
Yeah.
And like, having sex for the first time in her mind especially is so, it's like the biggest thing in the world, and she's trying to play it off as like, no, I don't care, like it's this random guy, yeah, we're gonna have sex.
And the way, like, she's just like, I'm actually really comfortable with this and no worries at all, and I'm ready to rock and roll. I'm like, work it, girl, give it a twirl.
No, exactly. And I'm like, I see through you, I understand you, I am you in many ways.
No, 100%.
So that's like something I appreciate a lot about this.
I think
thanks Lena.
I think as we do this podcast, it's so becomes evident that like every single episode we talk so much about Shoshana, because that's a character that we're still unpacking to this day.
Yes.
And this is quickly becoming from an HBO Girls podcast to just a Shoshana podcast.
Yeah.
Well, because there's just so much there, and especially also like, I feel like sometimes I can't relate to like Marnie or Jessa, or like, because like, even though they're like 1 year older than me currently, like I feel like some of their storylines feel very adult to me. Like,
totally.
Me not calling myself an adult.
They didn't have a pandemic.
Yeah, well, they didn't have a pandemic that stunted their growth. And 22
is teenager.
Right.
To be clear.
Right. No, I am I'm a 22 going on 23-year-old teenager.
And that's how it works.
I hope so.
So I think also just like at this age, it's a lot easier for me to identify with Shoshana and like being like a almost total adult in the city and like figuring it out, as opposed to like sometimes I feel like Hannah and them are like doing very like, I'm working at like a art gallery or whatever.
No, exactly.
You know what I mean?
It's like, that is not relatable.
Or maybe it's just because all their boyfriends look like they're like 40. Like,
okay, no, that's how I feel, because it's like, if Adam Driver was to talk to me at a bar, I'd be like, you're grooming me.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, I'd be like, you are a dad. Yeah, get away from me.
That's crazy. My boyfriend and I look like a high school couple. Like, good. That's what it should be.
That's what it should be.
You know what I mean? So, like, I think that also takes away from it. Or, like, I don't know, sometimes when Shoshana finally gets with Ray, I think is his name. Like, I'm like,
yes.
Huh. You like, look so old.
Well, he is.
Yeah.
He is, but he's also looks like he could be 50.
Right.
And he's what, 34? Oh,
he's like 34. Well, I think this is an amazing thing. Also, just going back to an age thing. When you're in your really early 20s in college, you've never met a 30-year-old before. No. Maybe you've seen three in person. And then when you move to New York City or just like a city in general, you're actually talking, meeting 30-year-olds all the time.
Yeah.
And you had no idea what they looked like for the longest time. And then you finally get to learn.
Right. And it's like, and then you're like, oh, I guess some 30-year-olds do look like Adam Driver. But like, that is still like a crazy concept to me.
Well, and 30 looks really different on a lot of people. Some people,
30, it's also like his personality 24. Is like, that's not somebody my age.
No, no, not at all. That's someone who's lived a life and had experiences in the woods.
And in the woods. It's Tarzan.
Yeah.
Okay, wait. Let's jump into I'm liking this part right here. This is a segment where we talk about a part of the episode that we liked.
Okay. For me, personally, as someone who went to French Woods and just camps my whole life.
Just explain what French Woods is really quickly.
French Woods is a cesspool of every theater kid in America in one location.
Exactly.
And then a few French kids who thought it was like a French camp in America.
Is this like what Molly Gordon and Ben Platt's show's about? And by that I mean short film. And by that I mean movie.
And yeah. First of all, yes. Second of all, crazy story about that. When I was like 18, like for like years, I was working on a pilot and a deck that was like fully about French Woods. And then like the second I sent it in, like a few months later, Deadline was like, new movie by Ben Platt about French Woods. And it's all about theater camp. And it was like almost word for word, my exact log line. And I was like, cool. Love that. Love. I was like, either I'm a prophet or I'm cursed.
Oh. Yeah, which one do you know yet?
Both. I feel like it's a little bit of both. You know what I mean? Like, and yeah. So, and that's happened to me like twice.
Well, and French
enough
Woods,
of this.
That's okay. You also, okay, if Molly Gordon was a star in something, you could play the little sister.
That's what I'm saying.
So it's like, call that girl up.
So I'm kind of like, hey. That's yeah, but it's fine.
Were they virgins in that?
I don't know. I feel like, I mean, probably. Theater camp kids are mostly virgins. Yeah.
No, I think they actually have sex.
Actually, theater kids have a lot of sex with each other. Just but with camera. Each other. With each other. Well, it's because they're so incestual. Like, it's like they'll be like, this is my family. And then, like, everyone's hooking up with each other. And it's like, huh, let's look at that overlap. But I love
that. Yeah, your chosen family is also to. Chosen fucking partner.
Yeah, exactly. Which is like, huh. And also you're like crazy because you're 16 and like doing Meisner. And it's like, oh, there's like, there are just like so many levels
you're
to this.
You're doing Meisner so at your funny. Jewish yeah. theater camp?
Oh, I was doing Meisner at theater camp. I was doing it at theater high school. Like I lived and breathed Meisner for 4 years. Like no, it sounds like it's a gateway to mental illness. Like that is what it is. It's not right.
It is a gateway drug to mental illness.
Yes, exactly. Awesome. And being the worst version of yourself. So I really love.
You should get into Meisner.
Wait, actually
don't you think Evan be perfect for that sort of thing?
You should get into Meisner just as a bit. Okay, so Meisner. So it's like a method of acting. So like instead of being like, okay, like today I'm playing Shoshana. Shoshana is like upset because like she had like a death in the family. Instead of just being like, okay, that's what I'm doing. You tell yourself, okay, who's someone in my life who's currently living who I would be devastated if they died? Okay, pick that person and imagine you watch them die. Now do the scene.
Oh, I actually do that every day. Those yeah. are fun.
Just like a mental exercise. Like,
I'm doing that mental exercise all the time. Yeah. It's so, I'm like, every time I'm on the stairwell for some reason, yeah. like, that's where my brain goes.
Yeah, practicing gratitude for the people in your life.
It's, wow. Okay, I've been accidentally doing Meisner. I guess I'm going to be anxious soon, too.
Yeah, it's kind of incredible.
Hey, everybody's winning an Emmy.
Yeah, huh. Exactly. But yeah, that's why I love when like the guy walks up to Shoshana and she's like, oh, from camp? And I'm just like, God.
It's also so God. New York. Because in New York, you see everyone you've ever met in your whole life at some point.
Any, like, the most random people, you will run into them. And, like, especially camp people. Like, It's my boyfriend has a running like joke with me that he like despises that I went to French Woods because like we can't go anywhere without someone being
you're Manhattan.
Oh my God. Yeah.
Camp friends always love in Manhattan. They not love Brooklyn. Manhattan.
Well, because camp friends most of the time are super rich.
Yeah.
Totally.
Because like those summer camps cost a lot of money. So like everyone's able to like live in a high rise in Manhattan. No,
all my camp friends live in like the Christie, that one right by like Ray's.
Right. Wait, speaking of camp friends, did you guys see Sofia Coppola's daughter's TikTok?
Oh, oh my God.
Yes. Another thing that I resonated with a lot, not the like financial aspect, but the whole like.
What, was she like cutting? She's like, I've never done this before.
I'm grounded because I tried to charter a helicopter to
see my camp friend in Maryland. And I was like, that's so real.
I've heard that story before.
Yeah. I was like, I know that. I know that about you.
For me, camp friends, it's like you're at a bat mitzvah. You're lighting candles. Candle number six is for the camp friends. It's for the camp friends. And they've all flown across the country and they're all sleeping at your house at night.
Yes.
And you're having a giant slumber party. And you, as someone who didn't go to camp with them, you're more jealous than you've ever been because they actually have a bond that you will never have.
And in your Instagram bio, it says like 07731, which is the zip code of your sleepaway camp.
No, it's more important than actually where you live.
No, exactly. Like someone asked me my zip code, I'm like, oh, it's 07731. Like, that's what it
oh
is.
Oh my God.
It's so
a beautiful thing. And like, no, like, camps are cults. Like, it's not even hidden. They are like mini child cults. And it's beautiful. It's like the ways in which these people come back into your life throughout the years. It's mm-hmm. like, I feel like I'm going to be 50 and someone's going to come up to me and be like, oh my God, Ruby from French Woods? And I'll be like, yeah.
No, you're literally spending 10K to like eat weird like Fritos with like meat on it and like make a bracelet and wear a funky hat.
And then see these people for the rest of
exactly.
your life.
Exactly.
And that's
just really powerful.
Honestly. It's a powerful bond, which is why I love the use of the word camp friend in this episode and Sofia Coppola's daughter's TikTok.
Brought it back, genius.
Yeah, call back.
Okay, huge.
So yeah, that for me is a personal favorite moment. A moment we have to talk about, though, is the song.
What song?
Hannah's Diary.
Hannah's Diary.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a big moment.
So the end of the episode.
Yeah, that's like a pivotal moment in the episode, of course.
Yeah.
What song? I was thinking you're talking about the Ked song.
Yeah, oh, the Ked song.
For me, that's actually more important. She lifted her Ked. She pushed her Ked off the pavement, and I fell in love. Like, what is that? Funny song I've ever heard. And I can't stop singing it. Like, I'm screaming around the house singing about Keds. And we haven't talked about this since 2014. That is something that died.
Right. Keds did die.
When I see a loose Ked in the wild, I'm like, hey, girl.
Girl, where you been?
Where'd you get that?
Yeah. No, it's where are you going in those Keds, but, like, in a singing tune.
I just, like, love the incessant hate on Hannah in this show. Like, it's just everyone hates her so much, and I think it's really funny because Hannah's like, everyone hates me, and then they're like, no they don't, and it's like, yeah they do, they yeah. absolutely do, which feels very once again very relatable.
No, it's so relatable because you're always like, everybody hates me, and then everybody's like, that's not true, and then you find out they do.
No, they do.
And they do.
I'm so happy for you. That's awesome.
That actually does never happen to Evan.
Yeah. Evan just like lives his little life.
It's so fun to live with somebody who everybody adores, and then I'm just like, hey.
How y'all doing?
I think people just hate women.
We should start a choir.
Yeah.
People just hate women. I think
people just hate women.
That is the takeaway.
It's literally true. It's crazy. Well, something I like about girls is that they also explore women being mean to women like so well, because it's like this like friend group is like they know each other so well, but they also are meaner to each other than anyone else on the show.
Yeah, which is like how it works.
Right, of course. But it's like, it's this like beautiful thing of like, okay, so like men are mean to women, but then like women are also
meaner to women
almost sometimes. And you're like, huh, it's a beautiful dynamic.
No, it's cool to have kind of the layers of hatred thrown at women all at once.
Yeah.
And it's like everybody's a perpetrator.
Yeah, it's kind of like a challenge. It's like a little...
Well, this is all about the women's march in a pink pussy hat. So it's kind of all about what you guys are talking about.
Yeah. So basically what we're saying is I'm with her.
Hashtag I'm with her.
Yeah. Hillary Rodham Clinton is my mother. That's mom.
Love her.
That's perfect.
Everybody on Twitter gets mad at us. It's like when Hillary was on Broad City and everybody was so mad at them.
Wait, I like that.
Wait, I think that's like kind of ironically funny though, to have Hillary on Broad City.
It's better now after she lost. Yeah. It's so perfect. What was your favorite part of the episode?
My favorite part of the episode was Jessa losing the kids.
Yeah.
I was like, that is so real. And it's like, if you've never taken care of a child and then lost where they were and had like the pit in your stomach of like, I will forever be known as a person who let a kid get abducted forever.
Right. It's also like not your kid too. It's like someone else's
kid.
Yeah. It's like you were paid to watch.
That is horrifying.
Yeah.
It's like, when I have a little sister and in high school, like I would take her to Target and I'm like, if she went down an aisle and I couldn't see her for a minute, I'd be like, I'll have to live with my stepmom being devastated by my actions for the rest of my life.
Yeah.
And it's like when that happens on screen, like I literally feel a jolt. I'm like, just a no. But it's like such an important lesson for her to be like, oh yeah, she can't just like be boho about child watching.
Right. Of course not. And like, that's why I love Jessa so much, because she has such a, like, I don't give a fuck energy. But then, like, she's always put in these situations where she has to give
care.
A fuck.
And then I you like realize she actually does care. And her not caring is a whole facade.
Wait, guys. Evan has just re-entered the conversation. Evan's just, here like, now.
I'm literally fully disassociated.
Evan, welcome back. We missed you.
It's crazy. Hey.
What was a part that you liked in the episode?
I was thinking about this. I think, okay, this is really random, and I didn't know this until I just thought about it right now, but I think I really liked it when Ray was, like, going through Hannah's stuff.
Yeah.
Which is, and it's, like, most of the time I never really connect with a straight man, but there's something about a straight man who's so, like, direct to the point and angry that it's, like, weirdly comforting. Mm-hmm. It's, like, he's a little bit, he is toxic masculine, but it's so, like, self-aware, so and he like owns it, mm-hmm. to the fact where it's like, it's kind of like interesting to hear someone speak like that. And like, yes, it's so annoying, but also it's like, I guess maybe I did like Oscar the Grouch growing up, and
you're like, I understand him.
Yeah,
I'm not relating to you when you're saying this.
No, it's really bad for women.
I hate Ray. Yeah, I'm like, really be different, grow up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're so good at writing men and women who are so, like, think that they know everything. Like,
yeah.
Because there's such a difference between, like, a woman who thinks she knows everything and a man who thinks he knows everything.
Like, Ray is kind of Hannah boy.
Exactly. And which is why I think he, like, hates her so much. Or, exactly, like, is so mean to her.
Because he sees himself in her.
Exactly. And, like, that's very true of, like, I feel like men who meet women just like them. It's like,
totally.
They're like, intimidated by them in a way, because they're like, oh, we're the same person.
Especially at 20. Well, he's 24 and he's 34.
That's so psychologist of you.
Guys, sorry. Came on and diagnosed everyone.
Really. Whoa.
Well, that's why, like, these characters are so smart, because they all combat each other so well.
Yeah. Ring, ring, ring. Oh my God, what is that? It's quote o'clock.
Okay.
Quote o'clock is kind of the time of the podcast where we reminisce on our favorite lines from the episode. Were there any while you were watching?
Any direct ones. I have a book, so you can take one from here, too. If you can read my handwriting, good luck.
Okay.
What's a good line?
Mine, I'll go. And it's going back to the scene with Ray. This is why it was my favorite scene. And I should have just said that from the beginning, but I didn't want to ruin this part. He goes, where does she hide her chocolate? In my experience of 24 years on Earth, every woman has an emergency chocolate somewhere hidden in her room.
That is true.
Whole life, there's so many little hiding spots in my house where there's just like a little piece of chocolate. There's ever not been a spot. I'm like reading a book. A little piece of chocolate falls out. Mm-hmm. It is so insane. The little stashes of chocolate she has around the house. When I go home, it's chocolate o'clock really for me. It's really normal. No, I just think it's insane the spots I would find it in.
Yeah.
Totally.
And that was so powerful. And like when he said that, it's like, yeah, this is, he is smart.
Yeah. Maybe he does know.
He at least knows about women.
Yeah. He knows that they have emergency chocolate stashes.
The way I bought candy for lunch yesterday, and Evan thinks it's just sour-based ones.
No, you had the other ones.
Oh, and nerd clusters. But I also have chocolate just in my room right now that you don't know about.
Yeah, exactly.
I'll find it.
And you'll never find it.
Good luck.
For my mom, it's all just like mini chocolates. Like,
yes.
Throughout the apartment. Like, it's like you can find them anywhere.
That's actually cool. My mom had a boyfriend when I was like 9 who like kind of sucked, but it was like okay. Like morale was up because right. he kept a giant Ziploc bag of like a million different types of M&Ms at all times in the fridge. And it's just like his kids like lived with us and I was like, get out. But then I was like, wait, there's peanut butter M&Ms in the fridge. I'm okay. And my mom kind of felt the same.
Wait, no, she stayed in a marriage for the M&Ms.
It wasn't a marriage, but I do think the relationship lasted longer than it would had there not been M&M's.
I was in the situation. Yeah, 100%. It's very my mom's dating someone core to have to live with someone else's kids for like a year.
Yeah.
And then you never see them again.
Yeah, like I hope Nicholas and Brianna are doing okay.
Are chilling, yeah.
Brianna was 4 and I was so jealous of her because she had a singular phone where you can only call the police and your parents.
Ladybug? I had one of those.
Oh my, yeah. Of course you had, yeah.
Ladybugs, yeah.
I love the ladybugs.
I was like,
ladybugs.
Brianna's 4 and she gets that? I'm not even allowed to have like an alarm clock in my room. This sucks, but nope. Ultimately she only ate nachos.
It's so important because we're rubbing our youth into some people's faces right now.
Right.
We're like,
right.
You don't know what ladybug is?
Well, Ladybug was super important. It's dating us, but Ladybug was super important for me because I grew up in the city, Bragg. And
so, guys, our guest actually grew up in the city.
Yeah, sorry.
So she just knows a lot more than we do.
Yeah,
well, I was born unfortunately. Here for 3 years.
Yeah, but 9/11 knocked you out.
Yeah.
Am I allowed to say that?
That's why my everyone
is that why you moved
to Westchester or Long Island after 9/11. It's like COVID. Like people were scared to live in a city, so everyone I grew up with was like, "Oh, we lived in a city for 3 years, and then 9/11 happened." Everyone in my hometown. Crazy.
I lived like a few blocks away from the Twin Towers.
My dad worked in the building next door.
Yeah, and my.
Do you remember it?
Yeah, I was 1 year old. My like mom like filmed. It. And I was like, what are you doing? Like, get inside.
I love that you're 1 and you're like, go inside.
Yeah, it was like talking already.
Yeah.
No, it's preschool drop-off day. So a lot of people were like dropping their kids off at preschool. It's the first day of preschool around the city for a lot of people.
Right.
So there's a lot of parents that like missed it because they were dropping their kids off at preschool.
Never forget when Robert Pattinson died and his shitty father didn't because of the girl. Oh, God.
What a crazy plot twist. And remember they were like, me? And by the way, it's 2001.
I don't know this movie.
You don't need to.
It's Remember Me. I got it in a Netflix Redbox. Not Netflix, just Redbox.
Yeah.
I got confused because they both have red branding.
I know,
yes. Yes.
And that's the power of color theory.
But yeah, I had to have a ladybug because I grew up in the city and my mom needed to be able to get in contact with me. And I was like walking home alone at like 8 years old.
Oh my God. Have you seen Little Manhattan?
Yes.
That movie's about you.
That movie's about me. It was like one of my favorite movies growing up because I was like, I am this child. I also did karate growing up. So I was like, this is about me.
You did karate too?
My mom was so worried I was going to get like beat up or something in the street. So my mom
know how to combat.
I'm literally a black belt.
You're so powerful.
I swear to God. Yeah.
You should do that for your stand-up.
I know. Like, just do some moves. I can like break wood in half.
Wait, that would be... Whenever you do a show in Brooklyn, they would eat it up here.
I know. That's the alt crowd would love that.
The alt crowd would love it. Wait, that is so cool, though.
We'll book you on our show, both of us. And
the early years, karate edition.
Yeah.
Do you have any quotes?
You got a hot rod here, little guy.
That's a good one. Do that one. It's when Shoshana and a camp friend is like undressing her. He goes, "You have a hot rod, little bod." And that line, anytime sometimes I look in the mirror and I see my body. And if I'm looking good, I'm like, I literally say that line in my head all the time, like, hot rod, little bod. It is so fun to say.
Yeah.
I love when something rhymes and it like makes you feel sexy. It's like never happening and it's really important.
It's very Brooklyn comic. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Hot rod with a little board. Like,
like someone and said to say it party. Like that. Yeah. You're a real one.
Yeah.
You're a real one.
I have someone at like a random apartment has absolutely hot come up to me and said that. I'd have to say my favorite like monologue in this is Hannah's monologue to Adam, where she's just like, and I know I sound like someone who wants to go to brunch, and I don't want to go to brunch. I just like want someone who wants me and doesn't want to have sex with anyone else and like text me back and doesn't send me nudes.
Yeah, like, she's like, I don't want you to be my boyfriend, but I guess want you to do all the things a boyfriend does.
Yeah, I was like, that's so real.
Yeah, that's so classic. It's like, how many girls are saying that? It's like, okay.
Yeah.
A lot.
Revolutionary. But like, I just love like, it's so like, it's the exact dynamic that like a Brooklyn girl and a Brooklyn guy have of just like, we are hooking up and you are absolutely hooking up with like 12 other people and I am only hooking up with you.
Yeah.
And I would like love if you could do the same.
Totally. And they're like, where do you live?
They're like, and
then girls are like, I actually don't know and know where he's got to go.
Yeah, exactly.
It's so she, they with the straight boyfriend. It's literally what you're calling out.
Well, it's just like, I love like the dynamic. I mean, obviously Hannah and Adam have like all their issues, but like, it's such an accurate, I feel like, depiction of like, you know, you're trying to be vulnerable and be like, this is what I want. But she's also at the same time, like not even being fully vulnerable. Cause she's like, I don't want to be the kind of person who has to say these things, but I also am saying them. And it's like, girl, commit to the bit, babe. Like, just tell him you want him to call you his girlfriend.
What's that saying? Say what you want.
And it's like, yeah, that Hannah, I understand her. And I also think it's a really well-written monologue.
It is. And it's so real because it's like, when you're this age, you're so bad at vocalizing something like that.
Yeah. Which is why it comes out the way it came out.
Yeah.
My favorite part of that is at the beginning, though, where Adam's like, what's up with your eyebrows? And he goes, I don't want to talk about it because that's not why I came over here to talk. And he goes, like, you look like a Mexican teenager. And
it's okay, that was my favorite quote.
Yeah, I like that quote.
When she said that, I said, this show is for me.
So funny.
Yeah.
It's like, it wasn't about that. It's like, that's not why I came. I love that.
I want to dye my eyebrows. What do you guys think?
Oh, bleach it?
Yeah, bleach them.
Oh, you should.
I think you should. I actually think you could pull it off.
Okay, thank you.
If a woman does anything crazy, I'm like, yeah, put it down.
Not to encourage toxic behavior, but I do think you'd look really good as a blonde.
Okay.
Well, people have been saying it all week.
People have been saying this all week. I think you'd look good. It's like, for my birthday, should I go blonde?
Okay, as a fellow woman with brown hair, I will say it will take you like 3 months to go blonde without destroying your hair.
Oh, God. Okay, well, summer starts now.
Yeah.
When's your birthday?
April 14th.
Oh, my God. It's coming up.
It is in, like, a couple weeks.
Hey.
It is, like, if I'm gonna go blonde, I feel like this is the last few years I can really do that.
And then do it.
Let me pay my taxes and then...
like, thousands.
Totally.
It would cost you $8 million to go blonde, but, like, also, you would look amazing.
Okay, I'll think about it.
Yeah, think about it.
I finally paid off laser hair removal, so I'm ready for next absurd purchase that is bad.
Did Hannah ever go blonde in the show? I feel like that's a very Hannah.
No, she cuts her hair really short, though.
Yeah.
I thought she went bald at one point, no?
Almost bald. Like pixie.
Yeah, when somebody cuts their hair pixie, I'm like, you're bald.
Yeah.
You're that's bald. Okay, that's quote o'clock. Okay, so the final segment, let's hop right into it. Get on the moped, drive to it. I'm trying to vamp because I don't remember the name. That outfit in Brooklyn.
That is the ugliest effing skirt I've ever seen.
This is our cultural analysis of then versus now. So this could be style. It could be culture in that like, people don't talk like that anymore. Like, this would play out in this way now. And if anything that happened in this episode, you're like, yikes, based on today's...
I have some. Okay, I have two. I'm going to talk about eyebrows, but if you guys weren't going to talk about that, then...
I wasn't. Go crazy.
That okay, one's perfect. Just for you.
Okay, perfect. Should we start?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That was all actually recorded, so I'll just keep it all in.
Oh, okay. Okay, so wait, I'm going to talk about the eyebrows of this episode. I think it's really interesting. So the scene I'm talking about in particular is when Lena's at work. It's like her third day there, and she's talking to the two friends she made because they're all being sexually assaulted by the boss. And they're like, what's wrong with your eyelids? They're so oily, and like, what's wrong with your eye... Your eyebrows are so patchy. She's like, I plucked them all out in eighth grade and it just grew out weird. And then they give her really thin eyebrows.
I love that part.
Oh, it's
like a reminder that the show is a comedy.
Yeah.
No, 100%. Because in 2012, like, thin eyebrows were so big in the 2000s and they were leaving the zeitgeist. But, like, it still was permeating some cultures around New York City.
What's crazy is they're back now. No, thin exactly. eyebrows are.
I know. Exactly. I'm like, no, they're not.
Well, it's so Amelia Gray coded, where it's like thin eyebrows and like Gabrielle.
Who's Amelia Gray?
It's Rena. What's her name from Real Housewives? She's a model, and she like stole this other model's look, Gabrielle, and everyone's like, you got the same plastic surgery as her. Anyway, so but like that, like these are the high fashion models, and they're all doing really thin eyebrows right now, and like. To see something leave culture in 2012 and you can see like 24-year-olds don't have thin eyebrows, but 30-somethings have thin eyebrows and they're still holding on to like these old cultural moments. And then to see it come all the way around where like the thin eyebrows will permeate down to us. And then like 10 years from now, 30-year-olds will have thin eyebrows all over again.
So basically thin eyebrows run the world is what you're
we'll
saying.
We'll run the world, thin eyebrows. We'll run the world, thin eyebrows.
Wait, like we're so both actually out. Really good at singing.
Yeah.
Not me.
That's okay.
I got my mess of flowers.
I loved that.
No, it wasn't good, but it was fun.
Yeah, there was heart. There was heart. Something I think is like different in culture about this episode is how much of this episode revolved around like the text language of like sorry, like and the nude and like how he was like sorry sry that was for someone else.
That's so far.
Like. That whole, and she spends like the whole episode being like, what do you think he spelled sorry? Like S-R-Y, period. Like that was for, like, I just feel like that whole thing, it could happen. But I just feel like the language of like the episode and the text, I feel like it would all be very different if it were written in 2023.
Absolutely.
Like, I feel like there'd be the word gaslighting in the script somewhere. And like him, he wouldn't use periods. He would probably use like, Instagram vanish or something, you know,
literally
like, just these like weird little like nuances about
Instagram vanish. So holy shit,
like, you know what I mean, like it just feels like I and this is
no it feels very thing. Like almost 90s even though it was 2012.
No, gaslight is so Lena Dunham coded. You're right. So right,
like, and it's like, and I don't even mean that in like a bad way, it's just like I feel like people our age just use that language now, like we use the word toxic a lot, we use the word gaslight a lot, like we use all these like kind of like buzzwords that we found off of TikTok, like in totally. Conversation. And I feel like the girls, the four girls, would love those terms. Like, you're literally gaslighting me right now.
Marnie would have
a field day,
festival.
And like, maybe they may have like used those terms like once or twice throughout the series. But yeah. I feel like if they were more Gen Z coded, I feel like the show would be the exact same, just like with some minor language differences.
Totally.
So that's my
Yeah, it would all be reworded. Okay.
Okay, who's this woman?
Real Housewives.
What's her name?
I don't know.
Lisa Rinna.
Oh.
Lisa Rinna's daughter, Amelia Gray.
Okay, well, she has my name, but cooler last name. Yeah. No worries.
Cool. Lisa.
Amelia.
Oh.
Amelia Gray would be such a better stage name. Anyways, I'd say the different part from this episode to now, me zoning out as I speak, is the entire, like, got the old man and the boss being, like, touchy.
Yeah.
It's, like, post-Me Too movement. Like, that would have been handled in such a completely different way. Because there's so much more language surrounding that experience. And I think Lena would be, or Hannah's character would be way more empowered to do something different. But since it was so still not something that happened culturally, it's like she's navigating it in such a 2012 way, in that everybody in the office is like, yeah, I mean, he's nice to us, so we just like let it happen.
Right. It's very like she's dealing with this problem internally, whereas if this were written in 2023, I bet she would tweet about
it. She would be tweeting it out.
Yeah. And then she would get like them fired and the company would like close down.
And then that she would like get the Chelsea Peretti hiring her to like blog.
Yeah.
Because she's always on Twitter. I'm sure she's talking about it on Twitter. Nobody cares.
No. But if it were in 2023, she would go viral every other day.
Yeah.
I will say I didn't know what a solar plexus was until he grabbed her boobs and like lifted them. I'm like, oh, that's a solar plexus.
You're like, oh, cool.
I learned a lot from him.
Whoa.
From this evil man.
Yeah, I didn't not like his vibe. Them. He was giving negative energy. I'll say it.
Yep, say it.
Yeah, no, that's beautiful. I feel like that's the most different thing.
Yeah, I agree.
Not to wrap it up.
Well, that's a wrap up, I think.
Okay.
You don't want to wrap it up? But that's our last segment.
I know. Well, let's close off.
This has been so fun, though.
Yeah, this was so fun.
In closing, guys, what are you, from this episode, what are you going into your next week of life now knowing, having watched this?
Solar plexus.
Yeah.
Solar plexus.
Know what that means? I am thinking about thin eyebrows.
Totally.
And the meaning of camp friend, that term. Yeah.
Totally. I think I'm going to be thinking about summer camp.
Yeah, think about that.
What you missed out.
Yeah, the way I missed out. I did work at a Jewish summer camp.
Wait, so you know. I love that for
Canada
you.
For a year when I was 19.
You're
Canada.
So integrated in the Jewish community. I love it.
I really am a part of it.
Yeah,
I
you are. An honorary.
I should have a bat
so
mitzvah.
Many honorary Jews.
You can have a bat mitzvah at any age.
Anyone that lives in New York City for more than 3 years is, like,
is an honorary Jew.
They always, at least they say that.
Yeah.
It's like, sorry, did your mom call you every other minute?
No. Does your hair just constantly look like you haven't brushed it? I don't know.
Whoa.
Yeah. I know, like, look at me and Evan versus Amelia right now. This is how you know who's Jewish in this room.
I have no idea what religion I am.
No, and that's okay.
And we don't need to.
I don't practice Judaism in shul. I practice Judaism in my, like, life, like, in social settings.
I love that you said shul.
Yeah,
that's
shul.
Do you know Hebrew?
I do know Hebrew.
Oh,
my mom, my grandma's first language is Arabic, her second language is Hebrew, and her third language is English.
Are you Sephardic?
I am Sephardic, yeah.
Ah.
So, Sephardic?
There's different kinds of Jews.
Gun to my head, how do you spell that? I'm being shot.
Actually, gun to my head, I don't know either.
No, I don't know either.
Okay, we're all gonna die together. That's cool.
Amazing.
But my mom grew up in Hebrew, and like she like,
in Hebrew.
Her high schools were Hebrew
that's
schools.
That's so insane.
Whoa, that's yeah. So brave.
Was she in New York City?
She grew up in Queens. She went to yeshiva.
Oh, yeah. So flashing?
Wait, do you still live with your mom?
My mom's moving out in 2 months.
Whoa.
Yeah. Because cool. I'll tell you guys later. It's like a long story, but we like share an apartment, but my name's on the lease. It's like a whole thing.
Ooh, that's chic as hell. That's
yeah, very so Gilmore fun. Girls coded.
Yeah, I'm like, no okay, boy. You're Rory.
Yeah, I'm Rory.
I love that. Well, we're so excited to have a Yale alumni with us. And Ruby, do you want to plug anything to our HBO Girls Rewatch listeners?
Literally, just like, if you follow me on Instagram, just be nice. That's all
yeah,
I ask.
Hey, guys, leave Ruby a nice comment.
Yeah, leave me really, like, be like, you're so pretty. And I'll be like, oh, yes.
That's perfect.
So funny.
And we so also, bitches. While we have you, guys, we would love, if you're enjoying the pod so far, we would love if you would rate and review us on Spotify and Apple. Yes. Right both. Now, we only have a few on both. We'd love more. Tell us how you feel. We got some great ones, and so we're excited for more.
This has been the best day of my life.
Yeah.
I love you.
Best day of my life.
I think
love
I
you guys.
Fell in love.
Okay, cool. I'm logging off. Wait, bye.
Miss you already.